Tracy Wilson is Cincinnati Opera's Director of Community Engagement and Education. She's the force behind Opera Goes to Church and Opera Goes to Temple, the Community Open Dress Rehearsal, and many, many more innovative programs. An even more remarkable achievement is that she's been with the Cincinnati Opera for 35 years. Tracy, after seeing you in Music Hall's lobby interviewing audience members, I'm delighted to put you on the other side of the mic.
I'm delighted to be here with you, Anne, as well.
Tracy, what was your first position at Cincinnati Opera 35 years ago?
Oh my God, when I first started with Cincinnati Opera, I was the sales manager. I literally worked in the evening and ran their telemarketing subscription sales.
And how did your trajectory work? When did you get promoted into a different position?
You know, it's an interesting story because back in the day before PNC was, Central Trust, actually one of our board members, the bank donated money for the opera to start a new program. And we started the Community Open Dress Rehearsal, which was in 1991. And it's kind of a running joke because our CEO at the time, who was our marketing director, Patty Beggs, started the program the first year. And it was an opportunity to engage music students to come to the opera for the first time. The first year she did it, she got about 300 students from SCPA and some other schools to come to Music Hall for a production of Manon Lescaut. And I think as a joke, she decided she didn't want to do it anymore and tossed it off to me. The following year, I ran it. And we went from 300 to more than 3,000 young people in Music Hall for the Community Open Dress Rehearsal. So that's how it all started. And then at that point, I became Director of Community Relations. And it's been a whirlwind ever since of just engaging the community. And it's my passion. I love it. And for me, it was a gift from God.
Well, as a Black person working for an arts organization with a largely white staff and audience, how did you begin to address changing that, including the community dress rehearsals?
Well, you know, for me, in this case, I was the first Black person ever to be hired onto the Cincinnati Opera administrative staff, and really in the field of the arts in any of the major 8 arts organizations in Cincinnati. So it was a challenge, but it was a mission for me to engage people who look like me or look like my family and friends in the arts, but also to provide an opportunity for them to know that they're welcome into a place like Music Hall, which, as you said, traditionally had white audiences. And especially during the time that I started, it was primarily white audiences attending these arts realms. And to be in Over the Rhine at the time, before all of the redevelopment and gentrification, was primarily African-Americans, Appalachian, and some Latino in the Over the Rhine community. So for me to walk to Music Hall or to walk through Washington Park and to see the young kids who had never, ever been inside of Music Hall, but had lived in Over the Rhine all their lives, to me, it was a personal mission to make sure that they also were able to share in those experiences and not just be someone on the outside looking in, wondering what was going on inside of the hall for an opera, for a symphony or May Festival or ballet at the time.
So how do you see that trajectory? Have you made opera fans out of many of the folks who are coming? Because I've been at those community dress rehearsals, and they're wonderful. They're so much fun, and the enthusiasm is amazing.
You know what? Amazingly, yes, we have. And it's fun to see people who were young then as adults now and with children. And sometimes I run into them just on the street. And they're sharing stories with their children about their experience coming to the opera through the Community Open Dress Rehearsal. In fact, right before we hit this pandemic, there were 2 young people sitting outside of Music Hall and they said, "Hey, do you still work for the opera?" And I'm looking at them like, "How do you know I work for the opera?" And they said, "We used to live right across the street from Music Hall and you would invite us to come to the Community Dress Rehearsal." And these young people were in their 30s now. So that speaks a lot to me to hear those stories, or to sometimes have people who used to come as a young person call me and say, "I would really like to expose my children to the same experiences I had at the opera. And we're calling you because you provided it for us." So it's pretty awesome. It's humbling. And I think it speaks a lot to Cincinnati Opera as an organization as well. You know, number one, for giving me the green light to do it and make it happen, but to operate as a team collectively to ensure that it continues to happen to this day.
Opera Goes to Church and then Opera Goes to Temple started 15 years ago. Tell us about that.
So Opera Goes to Church had been a dream of mine. We didn't even have a title for it, but I knew I wanted to do something that engaged the African-American community, churches, and to mix at least three genres that I love, which was gospel, jazz, and classical music. And I had talked about it for 3 years, and finally Patty Beggs, our CEO, said, you know, you've been talking about this for a while, just do it. And so it all began then. So we started with Opera Goes to Church, and then a couple of years later, we started with Opera Goes to Temple. Our first church partner was Allen Temple AME, and actually the worship director there actually rejected, turned me down the first time I attempted to engage with them for it, because they said, we don't even know who you are, and we're doing a lot of things already, and we don't know if this will work. And it was pretty amazing to see that we did the first concert, no reservations. It was just show up. And we thought that success would mean, you know, 200 to 300 people if we were lucky. The church thought, well, we'll probably get a lot of opera folks. Opera folks thought, well, you'll probably get a lot of church congregants coming. And what we got was so amazing, it blew all of our minds. The first concert, we had more than 1,500 people show up. White, black, young, old, religious, non-religious, opera lovers, jazz lovers, curious people. They all showed up, so much so that we had to add extra chairs in the vestibule and hook up an extra speaker system just to accommodate them.
Yeah, and now it's one of the hottest tickets. They consistently sell out. You've had to go to bigger locations. It's amazing.
And you know what's even more amazing is when we started Opera Goes to Temple in partnership with Rockdale Temple, we did it on a Sunday morning at 11 a.m., which in most cases, church folks are typically going to church on Sunday morning. And what we noticed was a lot of the same people who were going to Opera Goes to Church were showing up for Opera Goes to Temple. And I finally started asking people as they were coming through the door, what's going on here? Shouldn't you be in church at 11 o'clock? And they said, oh, we went to the 8 o'clock service so we could come to this, because we knew if Opera Goes to Church was good, this was going to be good, and we didn't want to miss it.
In your 35 years with the company, what do you count as your proudest achievement so far?
Well, of course, Opera Goes to Church, Opera Goes to Temple, community open dress rehearsal, but building the relationships between what I'll call non-traditional audiences and Cincinnati Opera, making those connections, and especially those who are in the immediate area of Over the Rhine and surrounding areas, to make people in the community feel welcomed, whether they're coming to Music Hall or if they're going to the zoo for a concert, an opera concert, or anything that we do, we want to make sure that everyone in the community has an opportunity. First of all, we want to make sure that they're engaged and invited. That's the key thing, because there are lots of things going on, but if people don't feel like they're invited or feel like they can feel comfortable coming to something, then we're not doing our job. And so I think that's important to me. I know it's important to the company. And we're working hard to make sure that everyone from patrons, young, old, black, white, Asian, Latino, gay, straight, to singers, to anyone in the community, we want to make sure that opera is part of the community, not just in the summer, but year round, and that it represents the community that we live in the greater Cincinnati area.
And you've also been an advocate for black singers, black performers, mm-hmm. black directors, all mm-hmm. of these folks.
Composers, librettists.
Finally, I think our listeners should know that you're the founder and the director of the Firelight Steel Drum Band, a group that's performed all over, including the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Festival.
Absolutely.
And I can testify to having seen you perform with them and with the Over the Rhine Steel Drum Band. You create some of the most joyful music around.
I'm going to give credit to my good friend Bruce Weil for introducing me to the steel drums. And I'll tell you a funny story about how that all started. Bruce was teaching steel drums at Peasley Neighborhood Center, which is in Over the Rhine. He called me one day and said, hey, you guys are doing the opera Carmen. The kids just learned the music to Carmen on steel drums. How can we get them in to see the opera? And at first, I just laughed like, you have got to be kidding me. Opera on steel drums. I couldn't believe it. I went over, listened to the band, heard them play, talked to Patty. So we made a deal. We would let the band come over to play prior to an opera performance, and then we provide tickets for the kids to come see their first opera, which was Carmen. And it was history for me after then. I joined the Over the Rhine Steel Drum Band and then started the Firelight Steel Band, and it's been a load of fun.
Well, earlier this year, you were named the winner of the MAC Award for Diversity and Leadership in the Arts presented by the Cincinnati Symphony Orchestra's Multicultural Awareness Committee. It's a huge honor, and it's so well-deserved. And it's unfortunate that the pandemic has prevented a real recognition ceremony. So I'm here to give you that shout-out.
Well, thank you. It's a real honor to receive it, number one, from my peers and colleagues, and especially our partner with the CSO. It was a huge shock to me. I think I'm still in shock, but definitely honored and appreciated, and appreciate the value and the meaning of a special award from the Multicultural Awareness Committee. So I'm very grateful for that.
Well, it's their highest honor, and as I said, it's so well-deserved. Tracy, it's always a pleasure to talk with you. Thank you for the extraordinary work you've done and continue to do for Cincinnati Opera. You can find out more about Tracy and Cincinnati Opera by going to our website, wvxu.org/aroundcincinnati. I'm Ann Ehrenstein. Thank you.